Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat. That's C-A-T, burning the candle at both ends. Kat, what's going on?
Well, happy Halloween, because that's what it's going to be the day that this episode comes out. Our little podcast, do a little quick 30-minute issues of the day. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many popular podcast platforms. We also could be found on Facebook and Instagram. We usually shout out two towns that be listening to us. And we've got two in the European sector of the world. One is Drogheda, Ireland. It's Drogheda's a gateway to a famous Bon Valley, UNESCO World Heritage Site, such as Newgrange. Newgrange is really cool because it's a Stone Age Neolithic monument there in the Bon Valley. It is also Ireland's jewel of the ancient East. Newgrange was actually constructed 5,200 years ago, which makes it older than Stonehenge and older than the Great Pyramids of Giza. Our other town that's listening to us is Falkensteiner, Germany. It's home of the Falkensteiner Cave. It's a huge, rare cave with an active water feature, an active river that goes through it. It's supposed to be one of the longest caves there in Europe. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. Alcohol is never far away from the back porch. You know, I've discovered that the only people who tell the truth are people who drink and kids. And guess which one I am. All right, today I'm back on the Maker's Mark, one of my favorite bourbons with a little splash of 7-Up on top. Kat, what you got?
I have something new to me called the Sleeping Beauty Cocktail. It has vanilla vodka, some razzmatazz, and some 7-Up.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
It'll make you have a nice long nap later.
All right. Y'all going to thank me for this one when it's over. In 2011, a guy named Anthony Simpkins started Gems on VHS. Kat, do you know what VHS stands for?
Video Home System.
Which was back in the day pretty much how we watched everything on tape, wasn't it?
Right. You would trickle on down to the Blockbusters and roam through all the...
VHS. Gems on VHS. Write that down. Anthony Simpkins is the creator of Gems on VHS. It's a Nashville-based YouTube channel that features, I'm going to say, traditional country / folk music, mainly acoustic guitars, fiddles, banjos, vocals. Anthony, he's captured many up-close performances by artists such as, hopefully you've heard of some of these people, Sierra Farrell, hello, Coulter Wall, hello, Charlie Crockett, hello, hello, Benjamin Todd and his band, Lost Dog Street Band. And some of these cats are blowing up by getting their songs and names out there on this YouTube channel. And in some cases, it's really helped some of these people earn a living with their talents, with their music. Lots of these artists on Gems on VHS are or were, I'd say homeless, but just traveling, like gypsy style, from town to town, hopping trains. Which is crazy. I didn't even know that people still did that. And I learned a new term while discovering Gems on VHS. And the term is busker. Busker, B-U-S-K-E-R. It's a person who performs music or other entertainment in the streets looking for donations. And a lot of these performers that Anthony Simpkins has videoed are or were buskers. And the videos are these performances, they're done like in the backyard, out in the woods, on the porch, in the house, in a garage.
They're not on a street. They're, hey.
Well, what's cool is, like, he'll try to capture, like, the sunlight, or they'll do it in the dark. And he uses what he has,
right,
which is just the outdoors.
Right.
But he makes it look so cool by people just sitting there playing acoustic instruments and singing into a mic. And the sound quality, it's really top notch. It's just so refreshing to hear music. It's not made up on a laptop, like all this shit on MTV. This stuff is so real. And the lyrics from some of these artists really hit you in the gut, because they've kind of lived a hard life. So, you know, they're putting it out there. The musicianship is also something that blew me away. Some of these guys and gals can play the hell out of their instruments. And think about it. Some of these musicians who are really good, with really good songs, would have never been heard unless Anthony Simpkins hadn't went out and captured these videos and put them on YouTube. Anthony, he was inspired by a man named Alan Lomax, who for like 60 years traveled high and low and gathered like 1,000 recordings of folk music across America. So again, it's so cool to know people are still sitting on their back porch, picking up a guitar and playing and singing to no one.
I mean, well, sometimes that's how you almost have to entertain yourself.
Right. I mean, they're doing it to start just because they love it. And like Kat just said, way, way back in the day, families, Kat's family for sure,
yeah,
they would gather around the piano or the one family member who could play a string instrument, and they would sing and play just for entertainment, to entertain themselves.
Yeah, my mother's side of the family was a musical family. They were known as the Ford Family Singers, and they would sing around here, especially church. At church.
They were great. Yeah, Gems on VHS.
And I got to sing with them for
Kat
a while.
Kat was in it too. Gems on VHS. There's like 100 videos, 500 videos on Spotify, YouTube. I can't get enough of it. I just keep checking out all these artists. Some of these musicians, they have and are still battling addictions, alcohol, drugs. But this forum is helping some of these people see the light. You know, imagine you're playing on a street corner in New Orleans, and then you got like 300,000 hits on YouTube, and you're being asked to play at some festival in Kentucky. I mean, it's happening. This thing is awesome. Thanks to Anthony Simpkins and his Gems on VHS. You know, I don't know how long this dude can keep this up, because it's a lot of travel, a lot of hours of doing what he's doing. But in the world of music, where we kind of have artists now pushed up to the top with zero talent, we have these songs slammed down our throat that suck. It's just good to hear these songs where the lyrics do matter. I mean, you listen to some of these songs, they will slap you in the face, and just refreshing to see and hear, you know, just pure, genuine music. just check it out. Gems on VHS. You're welcome. I told you you would thank us for this podcast, and you will when you check it out. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. Jonas Salk?
Right.
Born in 1914 from New York City, New York. Jonas is the reason the polio virus has all been but eliminated in the United States, correct?
Yeah. People forget how horrible the polio virus was. I had a philosophy teacher at Hollins that had suffered through polio, and he was a great professor. He could not use his arms or his hands at all. He would do everything with his feet. And he was a very good philosophy. I mostly did political philosophy with him. But, you know, and he lived a fairly long life. He went on after Hollins to work at William & Mary.
Polio, very debilitating disease. The young cats might not even have ever heard of it.
You know, iron lungs and stuff.
Is there do they give kids a shot for that anymore? Is it?
Yeah, you still get a polio. Remember when we were kids, you would get the polio shot and you could tell because it was like a gun thing. It would be on the side of your arm.
Right.
Not a gun, but I mean, the needle would go in and it'd be like a gun thing.
Like I said, you don't hear much about it anymore, which is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Polio, it's an infectious disease that can cause all kinds of stuff. Sore throat, fevers, headaches, paralysis. It's brutal. In 1947, Jonas Salk, which is S-A-L-K, was a professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. And he undertook a project to determine how many different types of polioviruses there were. And he said, you know, fuck that. I'm going to create a vaccine against this bitch. And he did. Very low-key dude. Wasn't a, like, look at me, look what I did. Stayed out of the limelight.
Well, you got to remember, he also did one thing during World War II. First scientific accomplishment was developing influenza vaccine with Thomas Francis Jr. there at New York University.
Right, which was also very, very important.
And it's very important today. I mean, I just had mine, 2 weeks ago? Both the COVID and the flu, of course, both of them knocked me out for a day. But I don't think I'm going to get any either one of those this winter. So.
I mean, you think of how many lives Jonas Salk is saved and changed by not having to deal with.
Polio wasn't like the most dangerous, I mean, deadly, but it was very debilitating to most people.
And it caused a stir to where we made kids get a shot.
Right. I mean, you don't know. Back in those days, there was a time where kids would not go to the pool together. You know, very overly protective, basically because it was such an awful thing for children.
Right. Jonas Salk received the Congressional Gold Medal, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In this day and time when corporations are trying to come up with the next miracle drug, and when they do, they make sure they get paid.
And Jonas, the first people that Jonas inoculated was his own family.
Yeah. You know, again, today we're looking for meds because we're looking for money. But Jonas Salk, the man who invented the polio vaccine, he could have patented and made like $1 billion.
Right. But
and back in the 1950s, you know, that's when this went down. He didn't do that. He made it affordable for everyone.
Well, I mean, sometimes in life you have to make decisions. Am I going to make money off this or am I going to make the world a better place? And sometimes you got to pick the world's a better place.
And that's what Jonas Salk did. And that makes him one tough son of a bitch. Are we watching stuff?
We're watching, and I watched Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story.
Everybody watched
Everybody's watching it. And, I mean, to be honest, you're pretty much getting their version. You're getting more of the evidence of the sexual...
It swayed to one side.
Right. But the sexual abuse that was apparently going on within the family. And apparently, as of yesterday, they're getting out of jail because...
They're getting out?
Yes. They're getting released. They're getting released.
Where are they at?
They're in two different jails. One's in San Diego, one's at San Quentin.
Are they from California?
Yeah. Well, they were originally from Princeton, New Jersey, but then the dad was in the music industry and ended up moving to California. Anyway, and especially with Ryan Murphy being the person who produced this, you do get a very gay man's point of view of things that went on. And anyway, I thought it's a very well done. If you want to watch that, and they've also have a new documentary there on Netflix you can watch afterwards to kind of see. I mean, they had two different trials. The first trial, the boys, it was a hung jury. So then they come back a few years later, and then they get convicted and then sent away to jail for life. Even though, and some of the evidence of the sexual abuse was kind of pushed aside by the judge.
We're making a big deal about that, which... It is a big deal, but does it warrant taking a shotgun to the head of your parents? That nobody's bringing that up. Okay, there was other ways to handle that.
That's true, and I think Kitty was just collateral damage.
And then to shoot the mom, who right. I don't think did anything wrong except let it happen.
Right. I think it's really well done. Javier Bardem does a great job portraying Jose Menendez. Chloe Sevigny does a great job doing Kitty. And there's one part that this kid's Cooper Cock is probably going to get an Emmy for. There's one part where he's sitting there talking with his attorney about the abuse. And it's a one continuous shot. The camera doesn't move. There's no cuts. There's no stop. They go through 34 pages of dialogue, and the camera's just steady as he never stops. And it's mind-blowingly brilliant performance by him. And of course, he breaks down in tears and in the middle at the end of it. But extraordinary, just, you know, for his acting performance, if nothing else.
How old are those dudes now?
They're in their 50s. And, you know, Nathan Lane does a great job. One of my favorite journalists there in the 90s, I guess, would be Dominic Dunn.
Yeah.
He did a great, you know, literary pieces. I liked his two Mrs. Grenvilles. I liked all the pieces he did for Vanity Fair he did a lot of stories about OJ, of course, and the Menendez brothers. Anyway, Nathan Lane does a great job portraying him. If you got a Netflix account, please watch, because, you know, maybe some of the stuff's going to, I don't want to see that.
So were they 20 when they did it?
20 and 18.
All right. So they've been in there like 25, 30 years.
Right.
All right. And again, are they a threat?
No,
to kill
I don't think they're going
again?
Out to, you I don't, know.
I don't know. Who said they were getting out?
Yesterday, on the DA there in LA said he was going to release them.
Oh,
that they have served their time.
Okay.
Anyway, if you have a Netflix account,
it's called
Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story.
Ooh. All right. After that, I need a shot to get me back in a good mood.
Okay, this is called Vampire's Kiss. It's from Instagram account called Cocktails with Whiskey. This one does not have whiskey, though. It's rum.
Damn it.
Cranberry juice, Chambord, and it's rimmed with a little honey.
That's all it is?
Yeah.
All right, you can leave it right there.
You're not going to try it?
Yeah, you just put it down.
Just put it down.
Because Cats dribbled it, so it looks like it looks like a vampire cocktail.
Well,
it's got blood dripping all over it.
The blood was supposed to stay at the top, but apparently the honey dripped all the way down.
It goes down easy.
It's pretty good.
Very smooth.
And, you know, some of the red honey with red dye goes in your hands. You can
it looks and tastes like Robitussin cough syrup, doesn't it?
I wouldn't go there.
If I don't feel good this winter, make me a, what's it called?
A vampire's kiss.
Ooh. All right, this week we were bumpered in with a cat called MJ. Say it, cat.
Linderman.
25 years young from Asheville, North Kakalaki. Mark Jacob Linderman. He spreads his talent around. Plays guitar in a band called Wednesday. Plays guitar and sings a little bit with Katie Crutchfield. With her band, Waxahachie, who are great. He did a little bit on their last album called Tiger's Blood. Came out this year. It's a great record. Go get it. One song in particular, he's on Right Back to It.
It seems that he comes from a musical family. Great-grandfather was a saxophonist, Charlie Venture, who played with Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich. Look those people up. They're legendary jazz history, I believe. The parents were music lovers. Of course, they took him to see the Dandy Warhols and Dinosaur Jr. and Drive-By Truckers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Guitar Hero changed his life. He discovered Jimi Hendrix and Smashing Pumpkins.
Wow. I can hear a little Pumpkins in his guitar. MJ Linderman, he started posting his music on Bandcamp while he was in high school. And he's released 3 albums on the Anti label. Today we were bumpered in with a song called She's Leaving You from his 2024 release called Manning Fireworks.
If you want to see him, I believe it's October 30th in Washington, D.C. He'll be at the 9:30 Club.
9:30 Club, woo! Very talented cat, and I think his best is yet to come. Check out MJ Linderman and the band Wednesday and whatever band he's playing in, wherever you get your music. We want to thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.